Because I don't remember it being actual sound.
Uh-huh.
I remember it like the thought that comes to me.
Yes, yes.
And it's interesting, like, do I turn it into a picture? Do I turn it into words?
Uh-huh.
But I mean, it's coming through like words. I mean, yeah. It's someone like saying, here's a couple of words.
Uh-huh.
And then, but what's interesting to me is the tone of it, the sound of it, the tone of it is always the same.
Mm. Yes.
And when that happens to me, it's always a masculine voice.
That's interesting. It's masculine to me too, but to me it comes in almost like my own voice. Like I couldn't really distinguish between that sound and my own like voice, but it's coming from a different place. It comes to me like out of the blue, kind of.
And it's a really funny thing to me. There's two ways I get it. One is when I ask for it, and the other way is it just comes. And when it just comes, it comes for some really funny reasons, and then I forget that it's the Holy Spirit talking to me, and then I argue with it.
Wow.
And then I do what I want to do, and I'm in trouble. What I think I want to do.
And then the thought later is all to me, like, I'll resist something, and I always know what I need to do. I need to step forward into that, even if there's fear. And then always afterwards, that was always the right thing to do. Why would I wait? Why didn't, and yet I'll do it again the next time. There's something going on.
Well, I always think, because John, you always, almost every time we're here, bring up something about just giving it over to the Holy Spirit. And I think of you often when I'm up against something in the kingdom. And yeah, it's like on those days, just bringing some intention at the early part of the day, something happens different. And it's like, and it's not in the moment I go, oh, well, gee, that's Holy Spirit. You know, it's sort of like after, in hindsight, I went, well, wow, that's not what I would normally think or do or feel or, you know, usually more direct, far more chill, less fear. You know, but I get what you're saying. Yeah, just like it's sort of a mystery thing. And it comes, for me, it comes in thoughts and feelings. I don't really get words, per se.
Well, it's interesting. And, can I say one thing? And yep. I was reading over the 50 principles.
Yes, yes.
And then number 46, it says, the Holy Spirit is the highest communication medium.
Yes.
Miracles do not involve this type of communication.
Yes.
I thought that was really interesting. I'm like, oh, okay, this happens. It's going to happen like on a, if not daily, a weekly basis. Where we're okay. What's going on here?
Yeah.
Is it supportive of the miracle in that way?
Read it again.
The Holy Spirit is the highest communication medium. Miracles do not involve this type of communication because they are temporary communication devices. When you return to your original form of communication with God by direct revelation, the need for miracles is over.
Okay, that makes sense.
But the second part was, because they are temporary communication devices.
Yes. Miracles are only needed when there's an error present that looks like the truth, and it's not. When you know something that isn't true, when you know something for sure that isn't true, that's when you need a miracle. Why?
Right. So, yeah.
Bring
it. It creates an opening.
Yes.
And but that opening doesn't necessarily mean anything. It just puts your mind on a more open track where you're not, you know, in a closed system of your ego where you're.
Yeah, you're looking closed. You're looking down. You're looking in the dark. You're looking at hate instead of love. You're looking at loss instead of gain. You're looking at a fragment instead of whole. Whatever you're doing, you're not looking at the truth. So what a miracle does is it switches your focus off of the broken to the healed.
It's like an on switch.
It's like an on switch. Or it's a salve. It's a healing of your mind, literally from sickness. The only sickness that there really is. Is that you think that the broken, that the suffering, the loss, the dying, the in any form that is a sense of sadness has power, and all the varieties of the ego are true. That's what sickness is. And we can go into the medical field, or we can go into the psychological field, or, you know. But sickness is a miss. It's off the truth. So, a miracle is only needed while you're sick. It would not be a high communication method, since it deals with the lowest problem, which is dreams, faults, delusions, separation, sickness, which is made up. Is sickness true?
Apparently not.
Well, that means God is sick.
It's not. We made it up.
And if sickness is true, then the source, the thing we call love, God, is sick.
Yeah.
That's okay. You could write a whole book. You could probably start a whole religion on that. And that would be just fine, because it's probably very helpful to a lot of people. But it's not what we learn here. What we learn here, when we say God, it's not some dude with a beard. It's truth.
Well, sickness is temporary.
Oh, it's interesting. By nature, isn't it?
It's temporary. I mean, I think we all know that. And therefore, it's not eternal. Therefore, it's not.
It's conditional, isn't it? Therefore, it's not a factor of truth. If it's conditional, it is not of the truth. Therefore, it's not of God. And anything that deals with sickness is not the highest communication form.
Okay, there's still more there for me.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, that's why you better come on and help me out on the 24th, because this is exactly what we're going to do and why we should do it. And that is the perfect question. So read it again.
The Holy Spirit is the highest communication medium. Miracles do not involve this type of communication because they are temporary communication devices. When you return to your original form of communication with God by direct revelation, the need for miracles is over.
Yes. The word direct is key there.
So once you've returned to that and you create that opening, you've switched from a closed way of thinking to an open way of thinking, you don't need a miracle anymore.
Yes. You don't need a miracle anymore.
Yeah.
Yes.
It says, doesn't it say something about the Holy Spirit in that regard too, though?
Yes. Yeah. The Holy Spirit is your ability to let go of error. The fact that you would choose the Holy Spirit in your mind is the bridge. But the bridge itself is a temporary nature. The bridge itself is meaningless at some point. Meaningless, except for that you want to get from one side to the other. And then the bridge, so what? Holy Spirit's the same way. The Holy Spirit, when you get fully enlightened, when you're back into direct the position of direct communication with the truth, he's out of a job. What?
Because you don't ask God.
Correct. You are now fully as God.
So you don't need the Holy Spirit anymore.
Yeah. You don't need the Holy Spirit anymore. Because you are the Holy Spirit's. The Holy Spirit's essence, you are that. You are now doing the Holy Spirit, being the Holy Spirit, so there's no need to have a guide or a target or what have you. So that could be just another basic term that the Course in Miracles uses that's different from the dictionary. Thank you, it's a beautiful way to say it. You are as God. When you are as God, when you return to awareness of this, that's what the awakening is. That's what enlightenment is that you've moved your mind just back to what you actually are, rather than being in a dream. With your eyes closed, head on pillow, lights out. Okay. Rather than that, when you wake up, Course in Miracles uses a term that means you awake. You as God. We call that the Christ.
Okay.
Everybody would like you to meet Stephen Christ. And Luann Christ. Andrew Christ. David Christ, when your right mind is installed and you're awake. Now you are as God and you would do as God does.
Without needing advice from the Holy Spirit.
That's right!
Okay.
Yeah, that is the highest form of communication. Because you can take in this discussion now, in that first part of the sentence, now we talk Holy Spirit communication, you could put a W in front of Holy Spirit to get an idea of what it is. Help?
Sure. Good. Think about that. I mean, if I'm already, like, kind of pulled up on.
All right. Well,
that's cool. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I mean, that's
this
what makes
is how this is how we do it, kind of.
This is how we do it, brother. An honest question like that.
Good song.
Say again?
Good song.
Yeah. Good.
So, question I have. So, when the miracle goes away before the other one, so the miracle will go away at some point when you start using Holy Spirit exclusively?
Correct. Yes. Yeah, the miracle goes away.
I never actually put that thought out there, so it's like seemed a little different. I just kind of thought they were connected in the way. I just always try and use the Holy Spirit because that's how I've been using inner vision for a long time.
Yes.
The
yes.
miracle part, I just thought it was part of it almost.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's kind of different, I guess.
When the Holy Spirit is communication, it's the highest form of communication. When the Holy Spirit is correction, it's your only hope. It's the bridge.
Well, when is Holy Spirit communication? When you're thinking and speaking from that? Is that what you're talking
yes.
about?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, thinking and speaking from that.
Okay.
That is correct. And you are aligned with, you speak now, you speak for the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that only leads to the effect of the Holy Spirit, and that makes things whole with a W. The ego divides, Holy Spirit includes. Mm-hmm. And so if you keep speaking with the Holy Spirit as your guide, you're listening to the Holy Spirit and speaking from there, that connected part of your awareness, you will be including. Pretty soon you are as God, which sees everything included. And it's a very free place to act. You can go right into a place of horrible situation when your mind is fully including. And all you can do is love.
Yeah, it's kind of like a comparison for me. It's like when I feel connected to something, you know, when I'm awake, I feel much more alive and...
Yes.
Willing to, I'm open, much more open to other people.
Yes.
And my intentions and everything are, you know, are aligned.
Yes. Yeah, that's the keyword.
And it seems like, you know, good things happen.
Yes.
And when things that aren't the way I want them to, I let them go.
That's right. But you go right through them.
But when I'm like stuck on something, like on, you know, in my ego.
Yes.
I might get angry and upset with people, and then that creates situations, and then, you know, then you start pointing the finger at other people, and things start to snowball in a bad direction.
That's right. And now your happiness goes, you know, dog leg, right turn. You were, when you're impassioned and aligned, mm-hmm. and in a project with which you're fully involved and aligned, mm-hmm. difficulties are simply something to step on as you keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And you push hard and you maybe pick move it over, but you're still going that way.
Right.
When you're not aligned and your heart's not in it, your mind's not in it, and you're not, this is not something that is a passionate, aligned thing for you. In other words, when the ego's in charge, mm-hmm. now you can be derailed and it's destructive.
Right.
And a new vector comes up and you may go all the way to court with it.
Mm-hmm.
if it was passionate, then the court, you just move it over and keep going.
Yeah.
That's a big difference.
Yeah.
But that's it. You felt it.
Yeah.
And you know it.
Yeah.
And so now for you, that's what this world is for.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for you to get anything done here.
Yeah.
But it's for you to know what it means to be aligned
mm-hmm.
with Mark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mark Christ is being born. And when Mark Christ is as God, then it is only love that will flow through you. Creative love. Inclusive love. Mm-hmm. And God expands through you.
Mm-hmm.
As you.
Mm-hmm.
And for you. Yeah. It's all good.
So, when we're using the inner vision stuff, it's pretty much real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So if it doesn't come quick or something you get later, that's what we most likely call the miracle, man. Something that takes a while.
Okay, so The miracle happens in an instant. Your willingness for the miracle could take a lifetime, or a week, but a while. The willingness is not the miracle. So, now, I think what you're talking about might be closer to forgiveness. Now, when the miracle is in place, forgiveness is an insight into how to release the wrong way and allow the right way. And it's true forgiveness is instantaneous. True forgiveness does not take time. Neither does a true miracle.
Nothing takes time.
Thank you, brother.
In the forum, we talk about
for the ego, right? Except for trying, except for anything of the body and the laws of the world take time.
Illusions.
But guess
what? Yeah.
But here we are. Illusions, that. Dreaming takes time. Yes, fantasies take time. Stories take time. Guess where we are? We're in the land of dreams, a land of fantasies, a land of stories, in bodies. So the book is a guide using what we already believe. Because the easiest way out of being lost is to follow the same steps you took to get lost, isn't it? Rather than creating a new way out of the jungle, look for the broken branches. I remember that rock. I remember that stream. I remember this. And you gain hope, even as you're
leaving breadcrumbs.
Like
you don't know it.
You bet. And so this is the kindest way for
to extend the metaphor.
For us who are very lost, oh my God, are we lost thinking that this is it? The body, the anger, this is it. We're really lost. And to follow back the same way, so it says in lesson 152, I think, it says, you can give it up as easily as you made it up. And you would go retrace your steps. It's just the kindest way. It's not the only way. You can have a lightning bolt awakening, absolutely. But it might be especially unkind to one who is really, really drunk on being an ego. If you're so close to what you're addicted to have it taken out of your hands is going to be a rude shock and probably cause fear and drive you back to whatever it is you're addicted to.
I used to go to Ajahn Shanti, and he always said, you can be enlightened, and then finally, he finally said, but if you've done the work and realize where you got wounded and healed those wounds, then when you're enlightened, it'll last a little longer.
Yeah, be kind. Be kind to yourself. But make no mistake, the miracle is instantaneous. Just like stopping an addiction, there is a moment. There is a moment when it's the drug is stopped. The ego's a drug. This is Ego's Anonymous. That's what this is. And there are moments when you have to put your ego down. Do not fight. Try not to raise your voice. Try not to be the victim. You know, anger didn't work last time. It didn't work the time before. It's never worked. Anger's not justified in any circumstances.
I don't think fear is.
It just makes you afraid. See?
Yeah.
When you chase fear, you're the first one and the deepest one to know the extent of the fear.
Mm-hmm. I've been trying to thwart my ego.
Yes.
Is the right word. And I started having nightmares, and I usually don't even remember dreams, and then I'd wait this three or four nightmares over a period of about 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
One time I woke up and I was so afraid from this fear feeling, and I looked at what I was dreaming, and I said, that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard of. There's no way in the world that's ever going to happen. And then I said, oh, that was my ego trying to get me to be afraid again instead of getting
Good.
Rid of it.
Yes. Yes.
And it was so clear that the ego had been trying to get to me through my dreams.
Mm. Very good. Very good. Now, in that moment...
Well, I haven't had a nightmare since.
Bravo! Yeah. In that moment, you did what the Course describes as you got out of an insane thought system and looked back at it from the outside. Or in a section called Above the Battleground. Mm. It describes like you looking at yourself dreaming and you looking at that whole dynamic and you actually looked at it out of it. And that's what allows you to see its insanity. To be inside of it, the laws and the urgency and the rules are still apply. Okay, to be a victim of dreaming, for example. Oh, I've always dreamed my whole life. I'm only going to have nightmares. I had them when I was a kid. My mother's had them. My sister had them. I'm stuck with this. Poor me. I'm always going to be afraid of the dark. Okay, what can you do? Well, you can, can't you? You can stand out of it. But the key is at some point along the way, you actually afforded yourself the sanity to get out of that cycle. The closer to it, the better. The closer to the cycle, right when you wake up, or right where it's dark as hell, and you turn off the lights for a while and say, wait a minute, this is just me making my life difficult. That's stepping out of it. And I dare say it's going to be the same thing for letting go of a quiet, persistent thought of any type, which leads us to tonight's word, which is idea. Let's take a look. You brought it up. Let's take a look now. Just take a minute. We're going to take a minute to think about this word idea. Okay? And so, as usual, when we do these meditations, they're very, very personal, because your spiritual awakening is very, very personal. This is you we're talking about. Your spiritual awakening will be, you know, the path, stone after stone, is your thought after your thought. And then it becomes a staircase once we start to learn what up and down really means. And now it's a step up or it's a step down, but it's still one step at a time. This might be one of those steps. So let's take a look at this word idea, and I want you to just open yourself up to what this word means. Let's check it out. Take a deep breath. Your body's going to serve you for the next couple of minutes. It's just going to serve you by holding a space. It's going to beat your heart. It's going to breathe. It's going to take care of everything, so that you can take a look inside your mind on this word, idea. Kind of a fundamental movement of mind we're looking at here. These little suckers are decorating our entire life, and every day and every hour and every minute of every hour are these little things showing up. Maybe it's time we look at it. Just give me an idea. So what was an idea done in your life?
Usually when I try to think of an idea, when I try to think of what is important, and my mind says, well, there's nothing, but it's not important, so then nothing happens. It's like, your mind is...
What? So what I just heard there is pretty significant. There's an idea...
Yeah.
That something's not important and I'm not going to do it at all.
Yeah.
So it's an just, undoing.
Yeah, crazy stuff.
You have an idea of not doing.
Yeah.
That's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
So ideas, many things in life are
the ideas are always dominating in your mind. When you go, well, this is just random crap, but yeah. Freaking, whatever idea I bring in, it becomes real and it creates it, and I'm going, whoa. Uh-huh. So now I'm trying to, okay, so if I'm going to think of ideas, I need to. That divine principle ideal is what I'm trying to look towards.
Right.
So how you take all this crazy shit and turn it into something of value.
What about moving your finger? Did anybody figure out where the idea to move that finger came from? You did.
It was the easiest thing to do.
It was the easiest thing to do.
And it comes from an idea that came up when you first started, when you said the word idea, my idea was the worst idea, and it feels the worst, that I had was that I'll never be able to be enlightened.
Uh-huh.
And what I realized is my life is controlled by that idea, because that gives me an excuse to procrastinate, that gives me an excuse not to do a lesson every day, that gives me an excuse for anything I'm doing, because what I really, really want is to operate from love, and it keeps me from doing it.
When does an idea become powerful? When does an idea become powerful?
When you believe it.
When?
When you think it's real. Oh, this is, you got to do this. This is the only correct answer.
For me, it's like when it tells me to action.
Oh, look at us go, Kim, Julie. You've been through this enough times with me. Absolutely. Right? I mean, an idea, I can give you an idea. You can find an idea read in a magazine, right? Oh, that's an interesting thing. That's interesting. Yep. But it's not very powerful. Then it moves its way from just being possible to being believed. Okay? So we have belief. And the beliefs make some sense. You could actually tell somebody else the idea. If you believe it, you probably could vocalize it yourself and own it and describe it.
Doesn't the belief come first?
Oh, before the idea?
Isn't the idea an extension of your belief about everything that you believe about yourself?
Because maybe you couldn't recognize the concept if you didn't already understand it somehow. But you get, the essential is that there's something you may or may not do, and there's something you believe, which you still may or may not do, but it's got some traction, and you understand it. You actually are starting to think maybe it's for you. Then, like Mark said, then it goes from belief. Watch these words now, because these are our words of the spiritual path. You go from belief, from idea, you read it in a book, belief, you actually understand it, you think, you know what? You think it could be true. It could be true. The reason why it's only called belief, because you don't know that it's true. Otherwise, it would be true. It would be you. So you have to take a step with faith, which is trust. And you actually walk the walk. I said it, just talk the talk or think about it, read about it. You're actually going to commit and make it, and it's now, you're actually doing it. You're trusting it. Mm-hmm.
There's something creative about that as opposed to just a thought. It's an idea as opposed to a thought. So he said he's on the right track when he said ideal.
Yeah.
So, you know, you and there's something...
Yes.
Kind of simple,
yes,
and concise about it.
Yes,
it's like this is something, and
yes,
it has to do with belief in, you know, like,
yes,
like this is something I can do.
Yeah,
and then you do it.
Yeah, the I was very important there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now it's personal, and the belief now goes to something we call faith. Faith is not knowing.
Right.
Faith is not knowing.
Right.
Right.
Because you don't actually know you can do it.
You don't. You need faith to even try it.
Yeah. You have faith, you know you can do it.
That's a faith, yeah.
Faith is when you actually commit to doing it. So now you know you're going to do it. It's beyond belief now. Belief is I really think I could. Faith is that. Faith is quite different. Because you actually know you can do it, even though you haven't done it. You're committing fully. You're going to trust now, that whatever this is, works. It's very, very difficult, very chaotic, to not use trust and faith together very, very closely as you commit. Because half steps avail us nothing, and they can end up in all sorts of problems. And delays, and frustrations, and... What faith means is that you're going all the way. It's commitment. Now, after the faith occurs, and our analogy is that you're going off to the airport, you're going to Hawaii, I'm going to feed your dog. And you say, look, Andrew, I made a copy of my house key. Here. Keep my dog alive. It's precious to me. And off of you, bye. Off you go. Aloha Airlines. Aloha. God, I hope this key, A, is the right key, B, it fits his lock, and it'll actually open it. Otherwise, we've got a problem with the dog. So it's an idea that the key works. I'm worried. So I really don't have faith. I don't even believe. I'm hoping and praying that this concept is going to work out. Do you know what? I say, it is as it is. Most keys work. Looks like the right key. He's never given me anything that didn't work before. And I can talk myself into some comfort. And now I'm moving up to faith. And this is a spiritual path. You go from the impossible to the possible, to the real, to the faith.
Improbable.
The probable, thank you. That's right. That's part of the story, isn't it? It's probably worked. Well, you know, this is Course in Miracles stuff works for, you know, Walt over there. He keeps coming and he's got some good stories, put a smile on his face. I think that's worth trying some more. It's probably going to probably work.
But, you know, once you take that leap of faith and it works out,
yes,
then it doesn't seem so improbable.
Hello? What's that step, Julie?
Experience.
Oh, yeah.
Experience occurs. Experience is a step that you take with faith. Experience happens after you take the step. You put the key in the lock. You turn it and click. All right. You don't need faith anymore. You don't need trust anymore. You don't need belief anymore. And the idea is so far long gone. Who cares? What a waste of time.
You're not going to let a dog starve.
No, dog's not going to starve. You know. Yes.
Well, because when I was meditating on the word idea, I was thinking that all of my ideas and idea—it's like an idea, not the idea—and I was thinking that it has to come from the ego because there's so many of them, and versus like a knowing, you know, which is just like is. It's not like an option among 50 or something, which seems like how ideas are. So my feeling during that was that ideas are of the ego. But I could
totally nice. They would have to be of the ego because all their flavors, they come and go. And some ideas stay forever.
Only to change your belief about them.
You could drop them, huh? You could even deny them. Yeah.
I think what you're trying to do is separate the concept of idea from the concept of thought.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Thoughts are random. Thoughts, like, don't necessarily are not connected to anything.
Uh-huh.
Whereas I think an idea is a more... I think that what we're talking about, what you're pointing at, is an idea is more connected to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I'd like to reverse those, though, just because it's in my head, is that the idea is the random thing, and the thought of whether or not you take it. The thoughts what you think about the idea and how you'd execute it would be thoughts that flow from an idea.
Oh, okay.
And chain of those, starting with one idea. Oh. Multiple thoughts, one idea.
Oh. So doesn't then an idea occur inside of thought? I mean, it is a brain function on some part.
Okay.
And for me, often it'll... You know, sometimes it's just a pondering.
Uh-huh.
It's like, oh, that's
uh-huh.
an idea.
Uh-huh.
And which could, in a lot of ways, lead to going to Holy Spirit, having a shift,
uh-huh.
solving a simple household or work problem.
Yes. Okay, so I'm going to drop into how Course describes it, is a movement of mind. A movement of mind occurs as an idea. Mind activated. The brain is much lower. It's very physical. The brain's by a pile of chemicals, and who knows how thoughts, ideas work in the brain. But we can trace them once they occur. After it's there, we can see where it's, you know, electroactivity and stored and all that. Yes, yes. Mind.
There's a specific definition of what an idea is according to the Course in Miracles, as opposed to, like, any old thought we might have about what an idea is.
Yes, yeah, so and just using the words are all symbols symbols of symbols.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we don't have to try too hard to nail this down. But we do have to get a sense now, and I think we will as we go around the room. It's very helpful that you would say, oh my God, it's such a variety, and they come and go. This really starts to smell like the ego. Very good, yeah. Well, can you say something in your idea? Was that sufficient? That's pretty good. I mean, your contribution is fantastic.
You didn't tell me if that's right or wrong.
You get the front.
Yeah.
Well, you're always right, so too bad.
Yes, Julie.
You want to go?
Do you want to answer her?
Well, I have something to say because I felt like what you said was really profound because of something. I recalled something you had said once that the ego's experiences and thoughts and the experiences we have from them are so varied, many flavors. But when you've had a moment of peace or more than one, like true peace, that holy instant, that moment, and each time you have one, it's something so constant and unchangeable in comparison to what the world is. So what you, that's exactly what you said, you know, that thought of the ego, or the truth would just be, and it's that sensation. Every time I think of those moments I've had, there is one, it's not even an experience, but a one knowing, one feeling of that, and it does not change, whereas mm-hmm. the world does. So mm-hmm.
And so there's a direct experience. There's two different experiences now, and only two, not 10, not 1,000. We learn with this book how to understand peace.
So you transcend your thought.
It's a transcendent experience versus a drowning experience. There's only two directions, right? Two voices, two choices, that's it. That's it. Oh, thank God, it's simple. Because the ego, if you stayed in the world of the ego, the domain of the ego, there's all sorts of choices. They come with different prices and sizes and duration and on. No. Up or down? Black or white? Spirit or body?
One power.
One power. Okay, so like there's one, hang on. So there's one mind. So I think we learn in this book really clearly. It beats on this over and over and over and over again. There's only one mind. In that mind, with that mind, comes the ego. Oh my goodness. So yes, the ego can have ideas. No doubt, because it uses the mind.
So without Julie and Cecily, what they were talking about, without the sense of the truth, something that's that stays there, that's lasting, without being able to identify that, how would you be able to separate out what thoughts or ideas to act on?
Yes.
You know, so you
perfect.
Need to have that
yes.
part in order to be able to say, okay, that's the idea that I want to act on. That's the thought
right?
that I'm going to pull out of all of that morass of randomness that we all experience.
Random possibilities, not sure which one works, which one doesn't.
Yeah.
Please give me some experience of the truth so I can start to associate, have a possibility of getting up instead of down.
Yeah.
Transcendent instead of drowning.
And when you're in the right place, you don't have to make that decision about what is the right way to think.
Nice.
You just do
because you are attuned and atoned, key word, right? Atoned with peace, with love. It's like being passionate about a project. There's not really, when you really really aligned with a project, hope everybody's had this experience, right? Whether you're a musician and you're writing a song, or whether you're a baker or you're a painter and you are going to do this and it's already halfway done, you just got to continue to, I don't know how that branch is going to wrap over the moon, but that's what I want, is the branch arcing over the moon, but I can't imagine what's going to be right yet. Wrong color is going to happen, you got to paint over, oh, my pants are dry before I can, it's the color so different, I have to wait, but I'm going to wait. He's not lost, right? You didn't lose anything. The costs are not seen the same way as a loss when you're impassioned and when it is a upstep or a transformation or a transcendent move with passion. The costs just are not loss. When it's downward, everything is a cost. Everything is a loss. When you're not attuned, you're not in the right space, you're just looking for problems. And you will have reasons to go back to your worst behavior.
That'll be natural. Problem under a magnifying glass.
Yes, that's nice. Perfect. Perfect. Yes, yes, yes.
Don't do that.
Yes, yes. Don't do that. Good, good, good. So, all right, let's keep working with ideas. So yes, the ego has ideas, but remember, there's only one mind. So you're going to have to start putting these pieces together. Well, is there something you want to say about ideas, or some event in your life that you would say started with an idea, and wow, look what's happened since? You can pass, you know, no problem. Stefan, did anything come up to you?
I think it's best, I don't know, my idea.
Yes?
My idea was okay. That it's not that much different than a thought. I don't really...
Aha.
A thought, I need to know the source of that thought.
Yes.
I need to know the source of the idea.
Uh-huh.
Usually, I get an idea when I think I have, when I need a solution.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And then I'll be like, huh. And it's interesting, my own view of my own self going like, huh.
What's that huh?
I'm thinking about, this is my stance of, huh. This used to be a way of, I think I'm open to my thoughts that my brain is going to deliver until I realize, like, that's not what was going on.
Isn't the huh, and I don't know? Let me see. Possible.
Looking for solutions. So, like, the manager at work shows up. And she's like a new manager, and she's scared to death because, guess what? Her department, she put the receipts from yesterday's work into the safe. And in the morning, it's not in there, she says. Mm. And I'm like, whoa, she's like really scared, like, this, what's going to happen? And I'm like, she didn't take it. I don't think anything happened. And so my idea was...
Yes.
It's also like a vision. I get a vision of that safe.
Like a vision?
Boom. I go, my idea was, I'm going to go and, like, look, like, how could this be? The vision is the safe.
Yeah.
I go to the safe. I'm like, how could this be?
Yes, yes.
And then I see, I'm going like, yes. Oh, maybe. And she put the envelope of money.
Yeah.
What you do is you put it in the safe and then you spin it around.
Okay.
It went in the sleeve of the safe, so it was tucked in and you couldn't see it. And I'm like,
yes,
what's the idea?
Uh-huh.
And then I go and I like tease that barrel and out comes the envelope.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm like, here's your...
Yes.
But that was an idea.
There was a bunch of not knowing. The idea was that it's not a problem. You followed this vision, which was a sense that this is not lost.
Yeah. That's the
You idea. Didn't know where it went?
That's the idea.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
That's the like idea.
It's okay. Like, yes. You had a thought, like, it's not a disaster. Uh-huh. It's okay.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Once it comes, it's like there's a issue.
Yeah.
I want a solution.
Yeah.
And that's what I got. I got an idea.
Yeah.
A plan of some sort.
Uh-huh. You got to put the pieces together.
And then at that point, that's the neat thing. I got this idea. And now I'm focused on the
action.
You
started thinking about the idea. You followed a bunch of thoughts about go to the safe, turn it, spin it, look it up.
Well, I mean, it's just that. It's like,
yes.
It's like the vision of the safe. Go look at the safe.
Good.
And it just, from that moment of going like, I have an idea.
No, I like this.
And then,
yes.
And then it, action.
Oh, yeah, I have an idea.
And it's like, I'm just doing this. And usually it turns out, my experience is, it's worth it for me to follow that idea, that thought. There's another word that comes to mind about that kind
inspiration
of
inspiration here. So I want you to do. I want everybody. However, the many great things you said, I would like everybody to say to understand. He first said no. You know, he said no. It's not what she thinks, even though she's the one. She's worried, and he just had wrote that off. And he says, I don't know. Make room for it.
Well, what I found interesting about what you just said, having been in a position for years of having to solve problems, mm-hmm. is you stepped right over blame and fault. Mm-hmm. You didn't really even put your toe in the water. Mm-hmm. You just went right to workability. Like, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal.
Yeah. Did you have something to say about an idea? Did you have something to say on ideas? Or can you point some place where an idea popped up and look what's happened?
I had a brief conversation, had this idea that I'd move to Santa Cruz. and I'd had the job I had for 23 years, and in some respects I was done, but in other respects I knew it. I was there was some something sick and twisted about being attached to me. Come to Santa Cruz, spend my first night in the building as a guest, and just sort of pondering the idea of it, and realize that I was a huge no. Number one, I hadn't lived in an apartment in 40 years. I could hear other people a little bit. I could hear, I'm right across the street from the boardwalk, I could hear screaming. It was like, no.
Yeah.
But I wasn't stuck with that no. It was an interesting 12 hours. This was as I was going laying down to go to sleep is when the no was so loud. And it was so loud and almost peculiar in how loud it was that I started looking at, well, what is this all, what's this big no? What's up with that? So I certainly couldn't get at it with my thinking mind. So I started praying. I actually prayed all night. And the first thing that surfaced was, it was really simple. I was just scared. I was just scared. Scared of change, scared of the unfamiliar. It was a big ass decision. And that had impact in every area of my life. But by the morning, I was a yes. And what's interesting, it was about a probably 75% yes.
Okay.
At that point.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
That's what happens when we said it takes time.
Yeah.
Right?
But I kept being with that, and as it continued to unfold.
Yes, it not arrived
before
yet.
Before I actually got to Santa Cruz.
Yes.
I was like 110%. I was like
110%.
There was nothing left, you know? I mean.
It's actually what you want.
It was exactly.
Does this, for me, both of your stories say the idea of a problem comes from our ego, and the truth is there's no problem. Way back in the beginning, before your idea of a problem or an idea of how you should handle it, there is no problem. Yeah, that's. I'm just thinking. We decide we have an idea that there's a problem.
Yes.
I think that's where we get started.
Then there's a problem.
Well, and I know,
right?
You're
using the mind, and you are developing the problem, making the problem real, and then you got a problem.
Yeah.
Well, that's where. That's where, that's very good. It's an idea, right?
You know, we're in the world. I had 50 employees. I was in the world. You know, it's like dealing with all kinds of points of views and everything. But what comes up when you said what you said? Like, there's just no problem. Well, yeah, there was some stuff to deal with. But it really was helpful, and I was somewhat selfishly motivated that I didn't want to walk around upset all the fucking time because somebody did something stupid. You know, so really it was just like, you know, I look and see, well, what do I need to put in that hasn't been put in? And it wasn't like a problem, but it's like, what's next? What's the next thing that could be addressed? And just that simple.
Okay, so what I want to talk about your story is that an idea came and there's huge resistance to it. But somehow he didn't drop it. Like on a spiritual path, there's an idea, there's another way, and it may be very difficult, but somehow, some way, that idea had power that somehow didn't even deserve all the fear. You're just better off not thinking about it. Stayed up all night. Look, how much fun is that? But it stayed and it persisted. There's something in the quality of that idea that you couldn't shake. And it was 110% by the next day. Very interesting.
So that what I hear and what you're saying is that it wasn't just an idea. There was a conflict of two or more ideas, and so that's what created the situation. So how do you deal with? So how do you know the difference between what the truth is and, you know, like you have a conflict?
It's
like,
yes. Yes.
Okay, I don't know which way to go. Do I go that way or do I go that way?
Yes, you bet. And thank God this answer is simple. Because there are truly only two possible emotions you can have. One is fear and one is love.
Yeah.
There's only really two possibilities. And of those choices, only one of those is real. And as this book carefully explains, the fear one is actually based on love. It's based on a call for love. So when you spend time with your fear, as you did, it inevitably drove you to the love that was underneath the whole thing. And this is when you're willing to do the undoing of fear, not following the fear to be more afraid, But following the fear to find out what's the love? What's the love driving this fear underneath? What happens is, as you open yourself to not attack the fear, to not avoid the fear, but to embrace the fear, compassion is born. It's true when somebody else is afraid. It's true when you're afraid. When that compassion is born, you're getting down to the love that's actually providing the very energy to be afraid in the first place. You're not afraid about something you don't care about. Okay. So that's what happens. And as you said, you become aware of things like trust and peace and certainty and truth. And those factors now are your guide. The more you wake up to how they feel and how to recognize them for you. That's how the decision is made. That's what happened to him.
Yes. I've got a question. Yes. So I'm looking, I've seen like there's almost two types of ideas. To me, a lot of times the idea was, okay, I'm trying to figure out what this means, and as he was explaining it, you've got different solutions. But then the other one, like Stefan was saying, is there's a problem and an answer just pops up, the solution pops up, so that's the other type of idea. Because, you know, my work, this stuff, that's how ideas come to me. There it is, solution, I go do it.
That's right.
And most of the time, 95% of the time, it always works.
That's right, yep.
And there seem like a different, that's more like you're getting a vision or something, how something works.
Yeah, you're getting a vision. There is no limit to what the Holy Spirit can do. I had the same problem. I go to sleep with a horrible problem. You know, not horrible, I just mean difficult problem, mechanical. I do a lot of mechanical things. I make stuff, invent stuff. And I had a really difficult problem, and I just went to sleep on it.
Yeah.
And I woke up the next day with, I built the thing the next day, and it's worked ever since.
Oh, yeah, that works really well.
It's still working.
So that's more because I was a person, because car problem, I'd be on the street, and I would sometimes just see somebody there by their car, and they got a problem, and all of a sudden the solution pops up, like, I wander over there and I fix the car, and it's exactly what the problem was.
Sometimes instantaneous. Often there is an instant when I'm in the middle of something and I have to solve it. I will back off. I'll say, "Huh," like the unknown. I'll open up and I'll let the energy show up that I'm going to solve this before I try to solve it with everything I already know.
Yeah, in other words, you don't let that mind take over.
You don't want the ego. The ego's.
When I'm going to do the problem, I just shut the mind down. Just
the I know blank. Mind is a blocking mind, and the I know is another term for ego. Lest you be as little children, you will not enter heaven, says the Bible. And the one aspect of the little child is he doesn't know, and he knows he knows that he doesn't know. Then he becomes a teenager, and then he knows everything. But the open-mindedness. Somebody said open. Open-mindedness is a key aspect of being able to hear the Holy Spirit and to hear a solution. And it sounds like this. I don't know. Or like this. Huh. Right? Okay, let's continue. I see your name is?
Kenny. So when you said, where's the thought come from?
Yes.
So I wiggle my finger and eventually I almost fell asleep.
Yes.
So the thought that I had was like a piece of firewood, like a log. Saw the log because I was almost asleep.
Yeah.
And didn't have too much meaning to it. So it's nice to be able to just go get a thought and don't put much meaning to it.
Good.
So the rest of the conversations bring all the chatter.
Yes.
And he's got a chatter, and he had a chatter, and then it's like, oh, all these other chatters. I just like the log.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's very good.
I didn't have to solve it.
It just showed up.
It just showed up.
There was a log, and that was the start and the finish.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is an experience of peace.
Yeah.
And this book says one of its chief purpose of A Course in Miracles is peace. The fact the organization that put the thing into paper and took the burden of and the responsibility of bringing it into the world is they call themselves the foundation for inner peace. They thought, you know what, this is about inner peace. And so to be able to choose peace, like using that log and just go on with that, it's a very good life. It's a good quality. Now let's do it with your...
Just a moment.
Hey?
Just a moment.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with that moment. Yeah. One step. And then you take 2, 3, 4, and pretty soon you know how to do it. Good, good.
Starts with a B.
What?
Starts with a B.
Starts with a B?
Bridget.
Bridget. Okay. Bridget, what do you think?
I guess I see the possibilities with the idea. There's so many possibilities.
Yes.
And then it seemed like I go out and find the experience somewhere. Like, I know I can do this.
Uh-huh.
You know, that I pull from somewhere out in the ethers. It's like the universe. I've been here, done it.
Yeah.
This is... And then it just kind of starts coming together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, creating things. There's a project that we had done, and it was like, well, what can we use around... You know, literally building this structure. And it just kind of comes together.
It comes together, not for knowing how to do it, but for trusting and having some energy just to go ahead and move into it. Move into the problem with some kind of a trust, some kind of a willingness to let the ideas drive as they show up. We'll try them, we're capable, and then the thing unfolds. You did not know ahead of time. Like Stephen, you know, he didn't know. Step back and followed it. Guess what? It led right to the... Yes, just like when you built your project.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knew how you were going to get that lumber. You actually, you know, the pallet that the extra spaghetti sauce arrived on last night, the kitchen next, that's the wood you need for the, you know, nobody knew.
No, it's his log, actually.
Oh, it's his log? Yes, it's his log. Let's saw his log.
There was a half of a trampoline.
Okay.
We had the frame, the metal frame.
How about
made
that?
Like a, for a horse cover.
There we go.
That we put the corrugated metal on.
Yes. Yeah, so it was an idea that drove to the goal.
What happens if you have like a really difficult problem and you start throwing a lot of different ideas at it and none of them seem to work? Because I've heard in other like spiritual teachings, you know, don't try, don't do, just allow. Mm-hmm. So then you like sit with the problem, but it continues to be a problem. And then you go Google a bunch of ideas about how to solve the problem, and none of them work.
Yeah.
And then you sit with the problem some more and try to, like, not think of it as a problem. But through all this, if it remains a problem.
Yeah, if it remains a problem, so it's kind of convincing at that point. You Google it, you've asked your friends, you called your mom, you looked out, you read the magazines, and it's still a problem. Now it's time to actually do some Course in Miracles work on that. Because Course in Miracles works on your mind, not on the world. So you would turn to page 445, I think.
Nice segue.
Text or work?
Text, thank you. Turn to page 445. This is what she would do. She says, you know what, I need a Course in Miracles reminder on how to deal with the world.
That's the forgotten song.
Turn to 445. Okay, but we're not reading the forgotten song. That was last week, right?
Okay,
so what we're going to do is read the introduction to chapter 21. Okay? And this is one of the things that I call it in the Course in Miracles a toolbox item. You go to my website, you'll see under study tools, you'll see.
I think I should bow. So
okay, very good.
Next week.
Thanks for making it. See you next week.
Yep. Bye.
Remind me your name again.
Jeff.
Thank you. Have a good night. Good to see you. So if you go on the website, you'll find a free toolbox. Okay, and what it is, I did it. I should update it, but still, tons of things, like 10 or more things that are places like this we're about to read. And if the beep hits the fan, go to some of these great places in the course that will just clean your thinking up. puts you back into the healing of the real problem is not the thing you're trying to solve in the world. It's what you're thinking about the thing in the world that you're trying to solve. That's the problem. It's what you're thinking about it. So let's just read my favorite places. Yes?
So you have a website?
I have a website. I make A Course in Miracle Study Tools as a hobby right now. But someday I'll hope to make it more one day. But it's spiritualear.org. And you'll find audios. You know, I've recorded the whole thing. I'll read it to you. And I've changed some of the harder words, you know, the it's and thes into the actual pronouns. I think it's easier than to understand.
And
it
if you
way.
Miss a mic, he records it and you can get it on his website.
Yes, you'll find these meetings sitting on the website also. You can just download and listen to them on your long drive. Spiritualear.org. Very good. You have a little handout with that on if you want it. Thank you for asking. So let's read. We just start reading it?
Okay.
So let's read paragraph one.
Projection makes perception. The world you see is what you gave it. Nothing more than that. But though it is so more than that.
No, hey, wait, start again. But though?
Though it is no more than that, it is no less. Therefore, to you it is important. It is the witness to your state of mind, the outside picture of an inward condition. As the mind thinketh, so does he perceive.
Therefore, do you see the circle there? As a man thinketh, so does he perceive. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's that circle we talk about so much. Go ahead.
Therefore, seek not to change the world, but choose to change your mind about the world. Perception is a result and not a cause. And that is why order of difficulty in miracles is meaningless. Everything looked upon with vision is healed and holy.
Everything looked upon with vision is healed and holy. Now, you know, we're 445 pages into the book. Vision has a meaning that we'll cover one night. But it's not using your eyes. Vision is understanding. Please continue.
Nothing perceived without it means anything.
Nothing perceived without vision means anything. Please continue.
And where there is no meaning, there is chaos.
And have you lived a few days of chaos in your life lately? All that Googling and searching and failing and, oh, it's chaotic trying to solve this. Hasn't anybody done this before? It's not on YouTube. It doesn't exist. They had a repair for my old Toyota handle in the back when you break the handle. No problem. A couple videos on how to fix that. Holy cow. Okay. Yes.
Because something really important that you said was, and then I try to think it's not a problem. So the try there is really important because this word redefines honesty as well, and it's consistency in thought, word, and deed. So if you still believe there's a problem, then like the trying is just more entanglement. And that's been my experience. So I spent like an entire year like just like putting my problem under a microscope or a magnifying glass, like I said before, in my relationship. I didn't want to move to Australia with my partner, and so I just started thinking of everything that was wrong as an excuse to not go. And I didn't realize I was doing this. It was very subconscious. But there was a dawning on my mind that I was doing this, and that set some freedom to me that I could just, what if I just chose not to put it under the microscope for a little while? And it, you realize like how it just looks different. It just looks different, and it was this very slow releasing. So it's not something that happens overnight, and you can't force. If you're forcing something, then you're just an ego. It's just sitting with it, even when it's really nasty and uncomfortable. So it's not necessarily allowing it to remain in your life like that forever, but just being able to be with it as it is in this moment. Period.
Yeah.
And if you get pissed off about it tomorrow, you can be pissed off again tomorrow, and then you come back again in this moment, and you just sit with it again. So you don't have to think that I have to allow this forever. You'll never get there if you think I can't. Mm-hmm. I should just say
yes.
I can't get there if I'm worried about getting it out of my life.
Yes.
I just have to be in it in this moment.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So A Course in Miracles deals with problems that you otherwise would think are going to persist, and you'd have to live with this forever, with something called a miracle. The miracle is a shift in perception about what this really is. And a lot of times the teeth come right out of the problem when you shift the way you see the problem.
Yeah, because I find that a lot of times, you know, when I try and find a solution to something, well, the issue is that I'm looking for an answer to something based on the condition of my mind in that moment. But the next
in the
day,
battleground.
Right. And I find that sometimes the next day I wake up and I have a totally different mindset. And then the solution might come in an instant.
In an instant, because you're open-minded now.
And also,
you stepped out of the battleground for a moment.
There may not be a solution.
How about this?
So are you going to stop living?
What if there is no solution? Isn't that a solution? If there really is no possible solution?
Well, that's interesting, because if there's no solution and the problem has to remain as it is, and I'm just really not happy about that.
It depends on your perspective.
Who's not happy about it? Who's not happy about it?
I'm not.
You! Yeah. So right here, it just said, seek not to change the world, change your mind about the world.
That's really hard to do.
No doubt. You're invested in the world. I'm telling you. That's why I call Egos Anonymous. We're so drunk on our ego getting its way. It has the solution. You just keep doing ego, keep trying harder with the ego, and it eventually deliver you a great life. That's ego drunk on ego. Where it could be, you just pick a log. And you're going to live peaceful watching that log slowly turn in the water, and you say, the hell with his fingers, look at that log. I love it. That's just peace. You choose peace. And from that comes your own strength. And you'll be reborn by getting out of the problem. Getting out of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Get off the battleground. There's a chapter on that. It's beautiful.
Well, is it just a simple change the word, like, instead of it's a problem, it's a challenge, or it's
You know what I do? I have these situations where I just need to get my head out of it. And all I say to myself is, oh, here's the new normal.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And suddenly, my mind just relaxes. I mean, I really do it, though. I really do it. It's no joke. And that just, I relax about it. I just like coming back to the problem, all fresh.
There's no problems, there's only solutions.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I stop fighting it.
Yeah. I've read enough spiritual stuff that, mm-hmm. you know, if you relinquish the fight over the problem, you know, then it dissipates or whatnot. And so I have, like, if I'm letting it go, mm-hmm. I have a sneaky idea in the back of my mind that I'm letting it go so that it'll change.
Yeah,
and fix itself. So
right,
it
there
really
you go.
Work,
you caught
know?
Yourself. You busted yeah. your ego right
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Very good. Good catch.
Yeah.
Good catch. It's not freedom. Not freedom. Yeah. Very good. Excellent. Good catch. Yes, yes. Julie, what's your idea on idea?
What came to me in the moment was all the roles I have, you know, that I'm Julie, that I am a responsible person, I don't want to let balls drop, and, you know, how I show up at work and all these things, just these ideas like that that keep me in this body. But I love what Stephen said, because I've very much had those life-changing experiences where the answer did not come from the me that I normally think that I am. And one of mine was, you know, shyest, quietest homebody in the world when I was like 16, 17, and I had the opportunity to study abroad, and I was just like, so much easier if I didn't, and this and this and this, so much easier. And I spent months trying to make a decision, and I just, one day, like, this voice in my head was like, is so much, what it is easier, better? And instantly I just knew I needed to go. And my whole life changed. I wouldn't be the same person that I am today. So
yes.
it's,
yes.
I guess I had thought that an idea was very much of the ego when I was doing the meditation as well, but I think the when there is an openness,
something was more powerful, like with Stephen's example, and he couldn't shake it. He tried all night in fear. He couldn't shake the more powerful nature of that idea. Okay, so from which source did it come? Did it come from love or did it come from fear? And then this powerful idea that overcame the fear, it came from love. It came from his higher self. It came from his Holy Spirit. And your Holy Spirit will patiently, it doesn't argue. It just waits till the next morning. And he was like 110% by then. Once he'd beaten himself up, all the fear ran out. And all the fear runs out, then what remains? You can hear. And this is a way of opening your mind. And yes, you can use time to do that. Yes. Yes. Beautiful. Go ahead.
I think I already told mine, but I want to talk about something a little bit different. So one of the things I do with my clients is I have them go inside and have a relationship with whatever part is emoting. Mm-hmm. And it's a guided kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And inevitably, with almost every single new client, the first thing that happens to them when they go inside is they become peaceful. And I've always thought, you know, what we're afraid of is having an emotion.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
I think our biggest fear is fear itself.
Yes.
And so when they get to this peaceful place, it's like something is coming to them that's saying you don't have to be afraid of exploring what's going on for yourself.
Right. You're very good.
Whatever it is.
Yes, yes. Yes, because emotions are very, very much misused by the ego. Mm-hmm. And emotions are a commitment of your belief. Mm-hmm. And it has costs when you commit to anything.
So my belief was that...
So says the ego, right? Costs of loss, potentially loss. Go ahead.
So my belief was that I'm never going to be able to just be love. Never going to be able to only know myself as love. As
yes,
better.
Yes.
And so as we've been going around, I've been thinking, you know what, that's a choice to believe that.
Indeed. Indeed. Yeah. It's a choice. And so the other question is, how much do ideas cost?
Well,
I mean, before you act on them, right? Do you have to pay for them? To show up out of nowhere? That's a trick question. They come, so many ideas come flying in.
Yeah. And as far as I'm concerned, the ego is the one that gave me the idea I could never operate on a love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could never know myself as love.
It certainly would be, because the ego divides.
Right.
That's a great example of division. Yeah. Now there's poor Luann who cannot know love.
It's funny.
There is love, right?
It's
but she's not going to have it.
Because your whole life is based on doing things out of love.
Mm-hmm.
It's the idea of love is my whole life.
Excellent. Nice catch. I love
being there
it.
For people is love?
Yeah. Physician, heal thyself, right? Right there.
I think I have moments of knowing that I'm loving clients, loving myself, loving others. But I don't think that, I think most of what I do is, if I do this, it's loving.
Mm-hmm.
If I do that, it's loving.
Yes, yes.
But it's not necessarily
defining it.
Yes, yes. And it is giving to get.
Yes.
Mm. And that's which is the way the world works.
Kind of a tricky thing, because as you and this have said over and over, what you give, you get.
Yes.
So it's kind of like
yes.
But the idea of to give to get is different than just giving to get.
Excellent. And that closes in also on what
Cecily
said. She kind of busted herself. And she said when she's trying to let it go, she's actually putting it someplace else so that it'll work. It's a little manipulation. It's not a true letting it go. By choosing a log floating in the water, that's letting it go.
You know, my therapist, after I'd been divorced a year, said to me, you knew I hated my job, I was working up on you.
Okay, I got to stop you now because we're running out of time, okay?
All right. I'll tell
John, please bring it back to us, though.
On the 24th.
Please. Okay. Please. Brother John.
So my idea of an idea is an idea is a bit of information or thought that's based on and inspired by belief.
Yes.
That's supported by internal logic.
Uh-huh. Because there are thoughts that flow after the idea, like going for the safe and going for your spiritual path, whatever it is, Course in Miracles included. That's why, thank God, there's so many words to back up these crazy ideas that you're not a body. There is some logic that fills in with your mind. It gives the idea power. The idea is powerless without you.
Yeah, on a more or less intuitive level.
Yeah, then there's some conviction pulls up. Like Stephen, he had some intuition that there's something good about Santa Cruz that he wants, even though he's surrounded with the noise and the screaming and the big move and the 50 employees. There's all these reasons not to do it, and something survived it. But he applied it somehow to his intuitive. There's something in there that didn't be true.
It comes out after when you sleep. You allow your mind to...
Sometimes that's the way to do it. But sometimes there's no time to sleep, right? You're right in front of the problem, and bang. You just open your mind, and there's how to fix the car. Sometimes it doesn't take sleep. Sometimes it does take sleep. I've used sleep. Both things.
The guy who invented the sewing machine used his dream.
He did, he really?
Yeah, he dreamt that there was a boiling pot of water, and he was in it, and a whole bunch of natives were sticking spears at him.
Yeah.
And he woke up realizing, instead of putting a hole at the end, like a needle, put it at the beginning where the point is.
Uh-huh, very good.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. I'd like to read that biography.
Kim, what's your idea of the ideas?
I'm not in a great place, so...
You can pass, too. You can pass. No problem.
Well, no, it's okay. Mm. I've always enjoyed the part of my self that is creative and has a lot of ideas and can always find the solution to problems. Mm-hmm. And when I especially am pushed up against a wall and don't know how to do something, I tell myself, because I know it's in here, I have everything that I need, that God gives me everything that I need to do anything that's in front of me.
Yes.
I'm in a good place, I can create and do and make things happen.
Yes.
And I'm not in a good place right now because I'm in a job that I am constantly beaten. Mm-hmm. Every single idea that I have is beaten down and made wrong. Mm-hmm. There's not an email that I put out that doesn't come back to me because I said something wrong, I did something wrong. It's really wearing me down, and so I'm going through this identity crisis of value and worth, and so my mind is not working like it normally does.
Yes,
and
I recognize
it's
that.
It's very hard right now.
Yes. Okay, so... Everybody's been here, right?
I can't find my way out of the darkness.
Yes.
And I have to work with these people. I have to go to work every day with these people.
Yes.
And try to not let it get to me.
Now, Kim is a successful person with A Course in Miracles, and has actually, she's come from a pretty damn dark place. I mean, we were handing her tissues, Sarah. And now, and she's coming back around. It took her a couple of years, and then now she's handing tissues to other people, explaining, listen to the power of your mind, okay? And now, this is, everybody's good, everybody does this, you know? And now she's gone back for another, the ego's got a hold of her, dragged her back. The ego's got her firmly by both ankles now, and she's dragged her back in the dark, okay? It doesn't change the power that has awoken in her, and that's part of her sadness now, and she knows this is not required. She knows better than anybody she's ever talked to, because she's done it, that it's a new form of depression, even, that I don't have to feel sad. I know I don't have to feel sad. I've walked out of this before, and yet here I am. Okay, so, but don't worry, there's a strength behind this. There's a certainty in your sorrow that says, this too shall pass. I don't like it. I don't like it any more than I ever would have liked it. But there is a knowing in you that this will pass, and, as she said, it's in me. all the in her, right? All the power that she needs is just waiting for her to ask. It's waiting for her to step back. Lesson 155 says, I will step back and let him lead the way. Because if she's going down, if you're going down, it's because you're choosing to take another step into the descent to hell. And you're going to get exactly what you do. That's because of how powerful you are. And you know this. You know this. So,
what a teacher.
Yes,
to
indeed.
To be able to express the thought that I know something about myself and that this power is within me and still be able to share this is the hard time I'm having. I've been there many times and I'm grateful that someone else can express it because it's knowing that somehow this doesn't have to be and yet it is. This is how I feel.
Yes.
And I don't see a way out of it.
Yes.
And it's like if I could stop for a moment to be at peace, maybe this would work, but I can't even see. I'm overwhelmed.
Yes.
I don't sleep.
Uh-huh.
I don't really eat right.
Uh-huh.
And it's like wearing me down, and I don't see any. But I know that it's going on in me.
It's a momentum that I just keep pushing me down.
And I know it will change, and I know it will get better. And right now I'm sitting in it.
In it.
And I'm trying to not fight it.
Yes.
But I'm not that strong.
So now, and I know how strong you are.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so now what you have is rather than you sitting with your friend in the cafe who's, I think, with a problem with her husband, and your mind was so clear that you could just speak your whole... You were high. You were at your pinnacle, one of your pinnacle moments of understanding that, you know what? What you think is what you get. And if you choose peace, you get peace. If you choose fear, you get fear. And you advise your friend very powerfully. Okay? Now, you need that, Kim. You need that awareness to talk to you. To talk to you. And that's what's going to happen. When you do decide to stop on the stair you're standing on and turn around and start walking back up. And you will. You know as well as I do. It will happen.
And sometimes the solution isn't in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's not in your head, sometimes it helps to just, like, tell it to somebody. Like, sit down with somebody and go, okay, this is what's going on, blah, 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 blah. You put it out there, and then the solution's right in front of you.
Sometimes it happens that way. Sometimes you go see a therapist, and they can put you together in a whole way out. Sometimes you call the wrong friend, and they say, oh, you think that's bad? Let me tell you bad. And they call misery. Oh, my God. And they try to make you feel better by showing you how bad it could be.
But what you said was you turn around that staircase somehow, the idea of it.
Yes. Turning around on the staircase means that you've gone still, because believe me, your foot's already reaching for the next stair down. That's why it feels so bad, because you know that there's worse to come, okay? Even if you haven't taken the step. So page 494, it would take not one step in the descent to hell. This is a quote.
Mm-hmm.
For having taken it, you will not recognize it for what it is, and mm-hmm. you will not recognize the ones that follow, and, comma, they will follow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Which is what she's going through right now. She's already taken a few steps down, and the momentum's continuing, and she knows that the next step is going to be which way? Down.
Take not one
step. Take not one step into the descent to hell.
My perception gets warped when I do that.
Doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's right, because you're not transcending.
I don't even recognize where I'm going anymore.
You're descending.
That's good.
It's a binary choice. Yeah.
So that's when you would need a miracle, is because you're going down the steps, right? You have a certain mindset.
Yes.
You have to be able to recognize that and say, okay, I need a miracle.
Yes.
To alter that, your perception.
Yes. Well, and for the newbies over there, a miracle for you guys.
Then what do you do?
hang on. For you guys, a miracle is not a Shazam lightning bolt that comes out of heaven and changes anything. No. It's in your head. It's a shift in perception about the very thing you're dealing with.
Yeah.
It's in your head, though. And it's where you step back and you let the truth speak instead. It shifts the way you see it.
So you could give it to the Holy Spirit, actually.
Yes.
And then try to derive your answers that way instead of going to the ego. It's binary choice.
Yes. And the Holy Spirit is going to take on a W in front of it in those moments. and it's going to be an inclusive movement of your mind. Rather than excluding you or them or the situation, you're now going to include you and them in a situation, in a healing.
Okay, so what do you do when you recognize you need a miracle? What do you do personally?
Take a breath.
I do. I take a breath. And actually, when things were really bad, I would consciously breathe the problem out of me so that the Holy Spirit would become in on the next breath.
Oh, okay. So you're...
I would visualize it and say, and I would just watch it leave me and scatter out in so many droplets of water and black or whatever. My next breath was breathing in the Holy Spirit would come in and fix it. But it was the backing away, getting off the battleground.
That's kind of like trusting
yes.
the Holy Spirit by doing that.
Yes.
Because there's no proof that that'll work.
Yes.
It's like there's a gap.
Yes.
You realize that there's something... That you need a miracle, and there's yes. a way of that you're thinking
yes.
that isn't working.
Yes.
That is not in the right direction.
Yes.
But you don't know what the miracle is at that moment.
I don't. So all I know is I don't know.
Yeah. You don't know.
I need to start to not know. I knew very certainly that I had a problem. I was sure I had a problem.
Yeah.
So A Course in Miracles has a great sentence in there that says, I'm going to say this slowly because we're not going to explain it. Fear is of the known.
Mm, right.
Right? You got it.
Yeah, of course. The past.
You think you have a problem. You really know you have a problem.
The past.
That's what's fearful.
Yeah.
If you really didn't know, it wouldn't be so problem.
Yeah.
See, you've completely convinced yourself you have a problem.
Yeah.
Can I?
Thank you.
And so what has to be done is you have to get out of your stinking thinking. Because that's what's driven you into the descent to hell.
Yes.
And the only way to do that, folks, and thank God it's this simple. Why is this book so long if it's this simple? Because it's not easy. But it is really simple. That is, you have to go still. You have to step back away from your following your ego. Even just for an instant, to break the cycle of chasing your tail right down the staircase. Stand on that stair. Don't take that step. Just stop. Go still. And stop trying to change the world. She's gone. Stop trying to change the world.
And that gets easier as you do it.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it works.
Do we have time for a paragraph?
What?
Do we have time for a paragraph?
Let's do it! Well, it's a huge topic that we won't have a time to feed off, but we do have a time for a paragraph, but it wouldn't be the paragraph from our reading though.
What I tell my clients,
let's go to manual page 58.
Find out what you're demanding. You gotta stop and say, I can't demand that.
Manual?
Yeah.
Get me there that
manual?
Yeah. You know what? We can do it because the next paragraph will allow us to treat it properly.
It's a miracle.
So it's a miracle. So look, we can set up for next week. Let's do it. Paragraph 6. Thank you, Steve.
What page?
Okay, paragraph 6 on page 413. This is what we're working on now. And this is the second obstacle to peace. And it's that the body, you know, the belief of the body's valuable for what it offers. Okay? So what's the way out? What's the idea that will allow us out of the body being the most valuable thing in your life? What's the idea? Okay. Mark, would you read for us paragraph 6?
Let me be to you the symbol of the end of guilt, and look upon your brother as you would look on me.
Okay, hold on a second. Me? Who's me?
Christ.
In the text, me is an awoken part of your mind, a Christ mind. We just have a term for that awoken part of your mind that fully understands being in a body, having been fully in a body. We call it Jesus. We just call it Jesus. So that and so that part of your mind actually wrote down the way out. The breadcrumbs are in 1,300 pages. Please continue.
Forgive me all the sins you think the Son of God committed.
And that's very personal, because if you include the healed part of your mind as the sinful part of your mind, and you hold him responsible for making you separated and suffering. No, wait a minute. The healed part means it's healed. Jesus is the healed part of your human mind. So we take a character a word, a name. And we apply Christ, not as the last name, but as the distinction, as the quality of the part of the healed mind. So we call it Jesus Christ. Just like we will have Mark Christ as he wakes up. He becomes Mark awake, Mark Christ. Please continue.
And in the light of your forgiveness, he will remember who he is and forget what never was.
Now, this is your brother now we're talking about. So forgive me all the sins you think the Son of God committed. And in this point, it's the stinking people at work. Have just did the wrong thing by correcting my emails and then putting the sizzle on the end of it and then copying my boss. What? Is that necessary? Yeah. Okay. So this all makes a problem. And so what we have to do is we have to start releasing the very things that would drive us to take the next step down. Release, release, release. And how are we going to do it? We're going to start coming in and start listening to this part of our mind that's still connected to the truth. And for this example, this is a big deal when we talk about not just a problem at work, we talk about being a body that has to work in the first place. Being a body, and that's what our reading is tonight, to actually step out of that a body has the answers. We would have to peel to part of our mind that's no longer a body. Please continue. Mm-hmm.
I ask for your forgiveness, for if you are guilty, so must I be.
Yes.
But if I surmounted guilt and overcame the world, you were with me.
Yes. See how personal this is. He's looping you in. He's starting to say, what I have, you have also. I can see it, you can. Please continue. It's Jesus saying, I can see it. Please, go ahead.
Would you see in me the symbol of guilt or the end of guilt? Remembering that what I signify to you, you see within yourself?
Okay. So this is a decision about your opinion about you. It's worthy of a meditation. It will be a miracle. Why? It's a shift in perception about you. The real you. Whatever remains of you, once you put the body aside, is going to be born in this awareness. It's going back to the truth of you. And Jesus saying, I'm a model. Hey, walked in your shoes. Guess what? I know where you're going. The script is written about the true you. You can't avoid what you are. Okay? So we have negative 2 minutes. So that's just enough time to read one more paragraph, isn't it? Okay. So, but not here. Let's flip to page 475 in the workbook, and we'll just do one paragraph so you get it, so that if you're really dying to further this tonight with your own reading, you can. Page 479 in the workbook. Okay? Listen to this. This is a quick, we're just going to do the italics on the top of the page. This is what am I? What am I? And the I is the author of the book, and according to what Mark just read, so is it you. Walt, you ready?
Mm-hmm. I am God's son, complete and healed and whole, shining in the reflection of his love. In me is his creation, sanctified and guaranteed eternal life. In me is love perfected, fear impossible, and joy established without opposite. I am the holy home of God himself. I am the heaven where his love resides. I am his holy sinlessness itself. For in my purity abides his own.
Thank you. Beautiful. In my purity.
That sounds like a prayer thing.
It is a prayer. Prayers are powerful things, folks. Okay, let's have a circle. Take a deep breath. So from ideas. Who knows and who cares where they come from? It's what you apply to them that is your life. Ideas are a gift. They are a gift. The thoughts that you apply to them are your life. If you use these ideas to solve problems, to allow them to flow, to be inclusive, then that's exactly what you'll get. You can also use the ideas and reject them and look for something that is divisive and separating. That is exactly what you'll get. And that shows the power that you have. It is a teacher. You get what you think. Always. Let me see. The one exception is, no, there are no exceptions. You get what you think, folks. It's really, really good news. And it's really, really bad news.
That's the good news.
Oh, that's also the good news, though. It's the good news because you get what you think. So when you stop and you start thinking about stopping, guess what?
It stops.
It stops.
The nice thing about bad news is it teaches you that you are going to get whatever you think.
Yes, there you go. There's a silver lining. It's a teacher. You can, as lesson 152 says, you can give it up as easily as you made it up. Thank you, thank you. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Good, good.